Russia and the US presidential election. Robert Mueller's
former government advisor.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Eddie Mair.
It's day four of the climate protests, which have centred on central London. We'll get the latest on what's happening in just a moment. As you heard from Sheila, the possibility they will spread to Heathrow Airport this holiday weekend. Between now and 7 o'clock, though, I want to know from you, have you ever been on a protest? What was it made you take part? Why did you do it? Did you feel you were doing something more important than doing nothing? And, crucially, what, if anything, did the protest achieve? 0345 6060973, text 84850, tweet at LBC. For almost 2 years, Robert Mueller and his team have been investigating the extent of Russian interference in the 2016 US presidential election. Today, it's about to be published. Now, you may be thinking, hold on, didn't the president himself say weeks ago that he was in the clear?
There was no collusion with Russia, the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. There was no collusion with Russia. There was no obstruction and none whatsoever. And it was a complete and total exoneration.
It's all a big scam, a big hoax. And it's called politics, but this is dirty politics, and this is actually treason.
There was no crime. There was no anything. The crime was committed by the other side. This crime was all made up. It was all a fabrication.
Very few people I know could have handled it. We can never, ever let this happen to another president again.
People that were absolutely haters of Trump, they found no collusion. It was an illegal investigation.
The bottom line, the result is no collusion, no obstruction, and that's the way it is.
The president a few weeks ago saying complete and total exoneration, but he said all of that having seen none of the almost 400 pages of the Robert Mueller report. He had seen a short verdict on the report compiled by his own Attorney General, a man he appointed, William Barr. Bill Barr said that Robert Mueller did not find that anyone associated with the Trump campaign worked with the Russian government to illegally influence the election. But he also said that Robert Mueller failed to clear Donald Trump of illegally obstructing justice, that there was insufficient evidence. All of that, as I say, came from the US Attorney General, who'd seen the report that almost no one else had. And what he did was he issued his summary. Very soon, we will have the Mueller report in the public domain with a few redactions. Reporting live from Washington, D.C., LBC's US correspondent Simon Marks.
Well, Eddie, it is now 11:07 in the morning here in Washington, and the Mueller report has just been published on the Department of Justice's website. Meanwhile, up on Capitol Hill, congressional aides are preparing to fire up a piece of technology they long ago consigned to the bottom of their filing cabinets and desk drawers, because the version of Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller's report, or at least a redacted version of it that is being delivered to them, is being given to them on compact discs. In the era of PDFs, email, WeTransfer and Dropbox, that is the way in which President Trump's Department of Justice has decided to deliver the report to members of Congress, their aides now desperately trying to remember how to plug in those old external disk drives that we all used to use. But that wasn't the most brazen attempt by the White House to manage and obfuscate the report's release. Instead, that accolade must go to the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, who decided to hold a press conference on the report's release before the report's release, describing Robert Mueller's bottom line for reporters who hadn't been allowed to read it.
After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
William Barr went on to carry tankfuls of water on behalf of his boss, the president, so much so that even over on Fox News, an anchor observed he was acting more like the president's personal defense attorney rather than the nation's chief law enforcement official. Mr. Barr insisted that the Mueller investigation had been a massive irritant to President Trump. He was frustrated and angered by it. it, and that nonetheless the White House had tolerated it and even cooperated with it.
There is substantial evidence to show that the president was frustrated and angered by his sincere belief that the investigation was undermining his presidency, propelled by his political opponents, and fueled by illegal leaks. Nonetheless, the White House fully cooperated with the special counsel's investigation, providing unfettered access to campaign and White House documents, directing senior aides to testify freely, and asserting no privilege claims. And at the same time, the president took no act that in fact deprived the special counsel of the documents and witnesses necessary to complete his investigation.
That, of course, neatly sidesteps the fact that the president refused to be interviewed by the special prosecutor, choosing instead to submit written answers to questions furnished by Robert Mueller's investigative team. But William Barr is not an attorney general likely to let the facts get in the way of a good narrative, something we witnessed again when he defended his decision to let President Trump's lawyers see the Mueller report ahead of its public release.
In addition, earlier this week, the president's personal counsel requested and was given the opportunity to read a final version of the redacted report before it was publicly released. That request was consistent with the practice followed under the Ethics in Government Act, which permitted individuals named in a report prepared by an independent counsel the opportunity to read the report before publication. The president's personal lawyers were not permitted to make and did not request any redactions.
But there's another unprecedented fact sidestepped there. The president's lawyers have been able to prepare a 40-page rebuttal to the Mueller report, again before a single member of Congress or the public has been allowed to read it. When reporters were allowed to ask questions of the Attorney General, William Barr flatly rejected the notion that he's done everything possible to spin things the president's way, and even rejected the view that Robert Mueller himself should have been on hand to unveil his own report.
Attorney General, let's start with Democrats who have questioned some of the process here. A Republican-appointed judge on Tuesday said you have, quote, created an environment that has caused a significant part of the American public to be concerned about these redactions. You've cleared the president on obstruction. The president is fundraising off of your comments about spying. And here you have remarks that are quite generous to the president, including acknowledging his feelings and his emotions. So what do you say to people on both sides of the aisle who are concerned that you are trying to protect the president?
Well, actually, the statements about his sincere beliefs are recognized in the report that there was substantial evidence for that. So I'm not sure what your basis is for saying that I'm being generous to the president.
You face an unprecedented situation. It just seems like there's a lot of effort to say, to go out of your way to acknowledge how this...
Well, is there another precedent for it?
No, but it's unusual.
Okay, so unprecedented is an accurate description, isn't it?
Yes, but okay. What do you say to people who are concerned that you're trying to protect the president?
Eric. There's a lot of public interest in the absence of the special counsel and members of his team. Was he invited to join you up on the podium? Why is he not here? This is his report, obviously, that you're talking about today.
No, it's not.
It's a report he did for me as the Attorney General. He is required under the regulation to provide me with a confidential report. I'm here to discuss my response to that report and my decision, entirely discretionary, to make it public.
And then there was the key question. If Robert Mueller couldn't exonerate President Trump on the issue of obstruction of justice, why did the Attorney General think that he could?
Why did you and Mr. Rosenstein feel the need you had to take it to the next step to conclude that there was no crime, especially given that DOJ policy?
Well, the very prosecutorial function and all our powers as prosecutors, including the power to convene grand juries and the compulsory process that's involved there, is for one purpose and one purpose only. It's to determine yes or no. Was alleged conduct criminal or not criminal? That is our responsibility, and that's why we have the tools we have. And we don't go through this process just to collect information and throw it out to the public. We collect this information, we use that compulsory process for the purpose of making that decision. And because the special counsel did not make that decision. We felt the department had to, and that was a decision by me and the Deputy Attorney General.
That Deputy Attorney General, Rod Rosenstein, flanking William Barr, looked deeply uncomfortable throughout the news conference, perhaps befitting a man who once offered to wear a wire in order to record his conversations with President Trump, so anxious was he about the legality of the president's behavior. Up on Capitol Hill, Democrats were having none of it. Congressman Gerald Nadler heads the House of Representatives Judiciary Committee.
The Attorney General appears to be waging a media campaign on behalf of President Trump, the very subject of the investigation at the heart of the Mueller report. Rather than letting the facts of the report speak for themselves, the Attorney General has taken unprecedented steps to spin Mueller's nearly two-year investigation. One, he summarized the report and cherry-picked findings in his March 24th letter to Congress. Two, he withheld summaries written by the special counsel that were intended for public consumption. Three, he has briefed the White House on the report before providing Congress a copy, which has helped them prepare a rebuttal response for the president. It now appears the Attorney General intends to once again put his own spin on the investigative work completed by the special counsel and his team. The central concern here is that the Attorney General Barr is not allowing the facts of the Mueller report to speak for themselves, but is trying to bake in the narrative about the report to the benefit of the White House.
He knows today is just a curtain raiser. As soon as possible, he will want Robert Mueller in front of his committee testifying publicly about the report's contents. But the White House and its lawyers have just put out a statement saying the results of the investigation are a total victory for the president. The White House is hoping its nearly month-long control of the narrative has persuaded the president's supporters that there was indeed no collusion and no obstruction. An hour ago, as those Democrats on Capitol Hill were scrambling for the computer disk drives, President Trump posted a meme on his Twitter account inspired by Game of Thrones. For the haters and the radical left Democrats, it reads, "Game over." And Eddie, if that turns out to be true, the president will in large measure have not Robert Mueller, but his Attorney General William Barr to thank.
Our US correspondent Simon Marks with details of what the Attorney General has been saying. He'll be back after five with our first detailed look at the Mueller report. We'll also have live reaction from Alan Lichtman, Distinguished Professor of History at the American University, and also Dr. Pippa Malmgren, US policy analyst who was presidential advisor to George W. Bush. It's